gali gali aquí. ਸਸ਼ੀਕਾਲ ਜੀ ਆਈ ਨੂੰ ਅਦਾਬ ਟੂ ਦਾ ਪੋਲ ਸ਼ੋ ਮੈਂ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਆਪਣਾ ਸੰਜੀਵ ਪੋਲ ਤੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੁਣ ਰਹੇ ਹੋ ਸੀਜੇ ਲੋ 1690 AM ਯੂ ਟਿਊਨ ਇਨ ਟੂ ਦਾ ਪੋਲ ਸ਼ੋ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਜਸਟ ਲਿਸਨ ਟੂ ਅ ਸੌਂਗ ਰਿਕੁਐਸਟਡ ਬਾਈ ਮਿਸ ਅੰਜਲੀ ਡਿੰਗਰਾ ਫਰੋਮ ਚਿਤਕਾਰਾ ਯੂਨੀਵਰਸਿਟੀ ਇੰਡੀਆ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ ਐਨ ਅਲਮਨਾਈ ਐਂਡ ਮਾਈ ਫਰੈਂਡ ਸੋ ਚਾਓ ਐਂਡ ਹੈਲੋ ਟੂ ਹਰ ਸੋ ਟੂਡੇਜ਼ ਐਪੀਸੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ ਦੈਟ ਐਵਰੀ ਇੰਟਰਨੈਸ਼ਨਲ ਸਟੂਡੈਂਟ ਗੋਜ਼ ਥਰੂ And to talk us through, we have a really amazing person, a personality that has helped me get accustomed to the Montreal weather and Montreal traditions as well. And we have Lena from International Students Organization here. So welcome, Lena.
Hi, Sanjeev. Thanks for having me.
No worries. It's a pleasure. Now I feel like the tables have turned and it's my chance to ask you a lot of questions since you have been doing that for like the past 2 years.
Yeah, okay. I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. So before we start, I would just like to ask you, like, can you introduce yourself for our viewers and listeners?
Sure. Okay. So my name is Lena Kamhea. I study at Concordia, so I study athletic therapy, and I'm actually in my last term of athletic therapy. And I also have been working at the International Students Office for about 3 years now, so I am a student engagement and volunteer coordinator. So essentially what I do is I plan a lot of social events to get the students to meet each other, make new friends, make new connections, and also try to learn a little bit about Canada or Quebec in the process since they've just moved here. And then during orientation week, for example, I coordinate volunteer teams since the beginning of the term, but that hasn't been happening recently because of COVID. I guess that's it.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I remember the first time I got into the ISO, it was ISO Chit Chat, I guess, where I met you and Farah, who is also the student engagement coordinator, which is the post that you have in ISO. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a fun way to meet new people since we were doing it online and I was in India at that time. So, how do you feel about the virtual meetings and stuff rather than the real life interactions?
Honestly, I find it really cool. So I've been working at the ISO since before everything went online. So for like about a year and a half, we were doing all our events in person. And it was really nice to sort of, you know, meet people in person. We get to actually like play a board game, or I'll present something and they're there. We'll watch a movie or we'll have like cooking classes. And that was really fun. But then when everything went online for Zoom, because of COVID, it was nice that now we can actually reach people before they arrive to Montreal. So that's exactly what you were saying. So before, we've never been able to be in contact with students before they come here. So it's always like, okay, now you're here, let's help you settle in. But now, because of how everything is online, we're able to reach people before they get here, and now we can give them tips on how to prepare before they even leave. So I find that really amazing, and I'm really I'm so glad to be part of the process, and it's just, it's really fun for me too.
It is for sure. I remember like trying to get into ISO Chit Chats at 10 p.m. Yeah. in India, and also there were French movie nights at 3 a.m. by the way, so in India. Those were fun times. So before we get into the international student's life, I would like to discuss or ask you, like, how did you get into athletic therapy? I asked this question to Nabil as well. So did you always want to do this, or how did it go through?
No, actually. So I, growing up, I've always been interested in healthcare or medicine specifically. And I played a lot of sports growing up too. So I played a lot of basketball, volleyball, I did some swimming. And when I was applying for university in my last year of high school, I applied to a bunch of different places. I knew I was going to leave, I knew I was going to go live abroad somewhere, but the programs I was applying for were either, you know, like health sciences, medicine, or biology and stuff like that. And I ended up applying for a Concordia's athletic therapy program just because I saw that it was sort of a mesh between the two mm-hmm. things I like, which are sports and health sciences. And that was really the only program that I found that had those two sort of meshed together. Everything else was really separate. And when I got my acceptances for university, I was looking at everything I had, and I saw that, okay, well, I got accepted into some biology program somewhere else. And I was like, I don't want to work in a lab, you know, yeah. I want to be with people, and I want to be able to sometimes work outside, sometimes I can't sit at a desk, you know,
100%.
And I'm so fortunate. I'm so glad to have picked the program at Concordia. I love everything about this university, and I love really the program. It's a really, really nice program too.
So why did you choose Concordia? Did the factor of French affect mm-hmm. your choice, or was it like you always wanted Concordia, or how did it work?
That's a very good question. No, so French did not really affect my choice at all. My French is really bad. I'm just gonna say straight out, my French is not the best. But I'm not worried about learning it. So I'm able to sort of understand it, and I can read, you know, simple French. So, yeah. So the language wasn't really something that bothered me going into, you know, making my decision. For me, it was really just the program. Like I chose my destination for like where I'm going to move to study solely based on the program. And I thought that the athletic therapy program was like, okay, this is exactly what I want to do. This fits like my, like it checks off everything on my list. Mm-hmm. And then I accepted the offer, and I was like, okay, now I have to think about moving. So, and then the moving came in after. So,
yeah. So this was your story. So when I chose or selected Concordia was my second choice, by the way. Okay. I love Concordia, but since it was like, I knew that you had to learn French a bit so that you are much more accustomed, you can get better jobs here in Quebec. But my first choice was Carleton University in Ottawa. So I got the acceptance letter from there as well, but it was like 2-3 months after I got Concordia's, and it was way past the deadline or the term that you use in aerodynamics that you cannot come back. You cannot come back. So that's why I love, but I think that it was my right choice to come here. It's much more friendly to your pockets. It doesn't really hurt you. How do you find that? My question is, how have you settled to Montreal, and what did you find difficult here?
I'm loving the flow of questions here. So how did I settle in? When I first moved here, I stayed on campus residence. So I stayed on the dorms on the Loyola campus, mm-hmm. and I spent quite a bit of time there. So settling in at first wasn't that difficult, I want to say, because I was able to sort of make connections with the people who were also living on dorms, since we all sort of, you know, went through mm-hmm. the same, like similar experience of having to leave from back home to come and study abroad. So we're all starting fresh. So making connections in that first year for me wasn't that difficult. It was really after I moved out of residence that it felt a little bit challenging.
I remember, Lina, when we were on our tour of Loyola campus, that you told me that you are an introvert person. So how did you come up making in connections? Like, did you make them before coming here, or how did it go?
Before what? What do you mean before?
Before coming to Concordia, did you have any connections, or you just came here and started to turn into a much more ambivert kind of nature?
Yeah, you're right. So it was actually like after I moved here. Mm-hmm. And it was really specifically when I got that ISO position, so my student engagement volunteer coordinator position. I've always really been like, I really like to, you know, meet new people, make new friends. Mm-hmm. Sort of, I'm really good at sort of talking to people on the go, like wherever mm-hmm. wherever people are. I'm really like, I enjoy getting to know people, so that part is sort of, that's always been there. But for me, it was my confidence to go and approach people at the beginning. So that was something I had to work on. And I feel with the position that I have at the International Students Office right now, it's really allowed me to sort of push myself, you know? So with like the events that you've attended before that I've hosted, so the coffee chit chat or something like that, we'll have a conversation and I'll be leading the discussion, or whatever other events that we've had, and sort of it put me outside of my comfort zone. And I feel ever since then, I've just been getting better at it. And now it comes naturally, I want to say. Yeah.
So what are your suggestions to the students that are coming here who are very introvert? They do not want to come out of their shell. They do not want to interact with the people from different religions, different countries. What's your suggestion to them?
My suggestion is really put yourself out there, you know, put yourself outside of your comfort zone. You won't... And I guess a good place to start maybe is you can start by volunteering. So that's really where I started. So I started off by volunteering at little things just around campus. You have that open house, you have Discover Concordia Orientation Day. There's really a lot of places you can try to volunteer at. It doesn't necessarily need to be off campus if you're not even comfortable going that far. But you can start small by volunteering, and then that will just allow you to sort of meet new people there. So you'll be volunteering with others around you, and you can get to know them, and then from there you can get to know some other services or some other clubs or some other student associations that you can go and, you know, link with people there as well. So you really, I feel, you start small, take it day by day, but really push yourself to get out there. You won't make any connections if you're at home all the time, you know.
That's 100% true. And my story is like, when I came mm-hmm. here, it was the quarantine time. Pandemic was here, the Canadian government just lifted the restrictions for the students to come in. I finished my semester in India, then I came here, I had to do my quarantine. Then I had to move 3 places before I finally settled to my current place, and it's perfect. So if you don't know how to communicate, or if you don't know what you want, it's difficult for you to get it. Like for example, there are a lot of places. For the starters, you need a place to stay. So if you don't know where to find it, you will be conned out of your money very easily. So like if an apartment is for like only $300 or let's say $600, somebody will charge you $850 because you're new. And maybe there were some instances as well when some students signed the leases in their country, and when they came here, the apartment was like something else. So, but since they've already signed it, they can't do anything about it.
They're stuck with it, yeah.
Exactly. So you have to be very careful about this stuff. You have to wait and come here and then sign the lease. That's the most important stuff. Do you have any thing to add to it, or
I
like,
do actually. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So
I think you have a personal experience to share.
Personal experiences, but also I hear a lot about some student experiences too. So when students attend our events and we ask them all those like get to know you type questions, they tell us a little bit about their experience moving. And there was one student in particular who told me that when he moved to Montreal, back home, like you said, he applied for like an Airbnb just to stay here for a month or something, until he could find a permanent place to live, because you can't go apartment hunting from another country. It's difficult.
True.
So he booked his Airbnb and he moved here. Like, he got on the plane from, I think it was Iran, and it was a long flight, right? He got here in the middle of the night and he went to his Airbnb and he knocked on the door, and then there was, it wasn't the same person. So he actually booked like the address they gave him was not an Airbnb address. It was a someone else's apartment. Someone was living there. It was a complete, and it was like 3 a.m. in the middle of the night. And he's like, where do I go now? You know? But thankfully he said that he got everything settled after. But that's very true. So international students, if I could just like speak directly to you before you come here. Unfortunately, it's very easy for us to sort of get scammed. It's simply because we just don't know the customs of the city that, you know, you're moving into. You don't, and then it's also because you don't know, or because maybe you don't speak the language, like you might not be fluent in English or French. It might be, you know, that language barrier might just be enough for the landlord or whoever to scam you, you know, or just maybe ask you for documents that you might, you shouldn't need to offer them. So if they ask you for your social insurance number, for example,
never do that.
That's a really big one. and people, we don't know because we're not from here, you know, like we don't know that they're not supposed to ask us about stuff like that. So, but thankfully we have services at Concordia that can help you with that. So they can let you know, what is normal to be asked for by a landlord when you're looking for an apartment, or signing a lease. And you can always go to Hojo, so that's the housing and job office at Concordia 2, and they can help you out with that as well. So yes, there are a lot that happens to a lot of people. It is very sad, but it's important to know about it.
Yeah, one of the main primary reasons behind it is that we do not know the Quebec laws. We are just going through that phase where we just sign everything without reading it. Like whenever we're trying to download any software, we just click on I agree the agreement and just install it. So that's how our mind is going through. But here, when you're going to get a lease, if you do not read the papers, then it automatically gets incremented for the next year. In some cases, I guess it's like three months notice before you leave, or 2 months notice before you leave. So you have to be pretty careful when you sign the lease for the international students. So that's our first advice in our first section of this show. So
many pieces of advice.
Many advice is coming through. So so now we're going to take a break, and after the break we will continue the discussion with Lena and see how she felt, what were the actual problems she faced and whatnot. So stay tuned at CJLO 1690 AM. So welcome back to the Paul Show. This is Sanjeev, and I am with Student Engagement and Volunteer Coordinator Lena from ISO. And we were just discussing how international students are scammed sometimes and what they have to go through when they are coming here in their like first month in Canada. So Lena, so my question to you is what you didn't expect to find as a problem here and what was very easy for you to get accustomed to?
Okay. Well, firstly, I'll start with the problem. So for me, it was, I want to say adapting, or more or less, no, the culture shock. We can talk a little bit about culture shock. So there's this really beautiful diagram that I actually found on the Concordia website a long time ago, and I can't find it anymore, and I'm really sorry, but I have some notes on it. But basically, so it's sort of like a cycle where once you first arrive, everything is new, and you know, you're going around and you're taking pictures of everything, and then you go into that stage where sort of everything is really frustrating. So it's really just, for me, it was adapting. So you have to go through that whole process of adapting until you're at like peace, you know, like you've made peace with the fact that you're here and you're settled and this is your life now, you know. So it was going through that whole cycle, and then it was little things like that would frustrate me. Like, for example, and I find it really funny, in my first month, I was going grocery store to grocery store and I was looking for Dettol, the soap.
I
couldn't find it. I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, where is this soap? Like, it's like it's just a disinfectant. Like, it's what my family used for my whole life. So I was like, where is it? Like, it has to be here. Sanjeev, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. Dettol is quite prominent in India as well.
Yeah. So I was looking everywhere for it. And I went to this one store and I just asked. I was like, excuse me, sir, could you please tell me where the Dettol is? And he was like, what is that? I was like, what do you mean? What is it? So I that was a really frustrating moment for me. I just picked up whatever and I realized that they're all the same anyway, so I use it now. But in that time, I just remember that was a very frustrating thing. And then when it comes to people, for example, like actual like culture shock, there are some things that to this day are still a little bit, you have to keep reminding yourself about. So when people come to greet you, for example, so back home, it's not customary for people to greet you with a hug, you know, we have our own personal bubbles.
Yeah.
And where I'm from, everyone sort of stays in their little personal bubble. We shake hands, you know?
Yeah.
But even then, it's not with the opposite gender, for example, or like the opposite sex. So it'll be like, you know, so here, for example, you go to say hi to someone and they come to give you a hug and it's like, whoa, you know?
Yeah, it is.
You have to turn right, you know, like avoid it almost. But it's not like I'm not trying to be rude. It's just,
It is.
But it's little things like that. It's very small things, but. Mm-hmm.
True. So culture shock is definitely there. And I remember, I don't know if it happens with you guys or not, if it specifically happened to you or not, but when I was coming here, when I actually came here, so in India, like $1 Canadian is equal to around 60 Indian rupees. So whenever you're going to buy something new, you always have that calculation in your mind going on, hey, is that expensive? Is that cheap? Should I buy it? Yeah. Should I not buy it? So since in the first month, you are really short on your like finances. You don't have enough money because you also have to give it for your monthly rent. You have to pay your bills, your Wi-Fi and everything. And then you're left with very specific amount of money. Then you have to do calculations. That was something that really, really is still going on with me, but I have got accustomed to it now. I'm much better. And how's your shopping experience with that?
That's very true. Like I still sometimes have to recalculate, like I have to switch currencies in my head, do some quick math before I can figure out if this price is worth it or not. I find that I'm getting better at it now. I found some more affordable grocery stores around where I live. And I'm just gonna plug in an event here. So we used to have, or we still do actually, in the beginning of every term, we take a group of international students and we go around downtown Montreal and we show them some affordable grocery stores that they can get their groceries at, because some are really very pricey. And again, in the beginning, you don't know what's expensive and what's not. So everything's sort of the same, you know, like food is food. until you're like 2 months in, you're like, okay, my bank account is empty, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to just discreetly mention that we have events for that. And I recommend that students attend. But yeah, it is, sometimes I still have to calculate.
True. For the international students who are going to come here, it's advice to you guys that in Canada, there's no fixed price for any amount of any sort of grocery. Let's say in one store, you're going to get just normal grocery like pizza for $5. In other grocery store, you will get it at $7. In some other, you will get it at $3. So there's no consistency in that rate. So you be aware of that. So if you have some time, if you're living in an area where you have a lot of grocery stores, just make sure you look at your choices and then buy some stuff. If you don't have enough time, then obviously there's not enough choice. But yeah, that's one of my recommendations for you guys. So what's your suggestion? Like, do you do this, Lena, or you are just like, I don't have enough time, I'm just gonna buy something?
Every week is different. It depends on sort of how busy I am that week. It's always more convenient to go to the grocery stores that are more expensive. I feel they're always placed very, very nicely, like on the exactly where you need it to be, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, you get what I mean? Like it's so convenient to go there, and they're always the most expensively, like that's where all the most expensively priced food is. So if I don't have the time, I find myself sort of going there and getting my groceries, and then I come home and I see that my bill was like, oof, you know, like it was crazy, the price. But on the weekend, I like to go just a little bit further to a grocery store that's a little bit on the less expensive side. And it's worth it, I feel, to just sort of go a little bit out of your way and save that money.
Let's even forget the matter of money. I was just reading a novel late night, Who Will Cry When You Die by Robin Sharma. And in there's one chapter where it's called Take a Weekly Sabbatical. So we are all fed up. I'll not say fed up. We are like so busy in our weekdays. 5 days we are working, we are studying, we have our own routine. And if we do not take one day, like let's say Sunday or Saturday, for yourself, you will not be able to freshen yourself up. Do something that you really love. For me, it's shopping. It's going around. It's hiking, trekking, or whatever I can do so that I have some physical activity. That helps me. For international students, it's really important that you do not live at the same place for a longer period of time, because depression is something that can strike you at any moment of your life as an international student. So be active, be vocal about what you're feeling, and that's my personal suggestion. Do you have anything to add to it, Lina?
Yeah, well, exactly. So about that, it can be something as simple as just going outside and going for a walk around your block, you know?
True.
So I found that I was doing that a lot during that quarantine period when everything was sort of closed and I was losing my mind at home.
Yeah.
You can't go to classes, everything's online, all the events are online, but it's like, it's nice to sort of see people on Zoom, you know, it's nice to connect with them, but you need to also see people in person. And it's just, something was a little bit lacking there. So what helped me, I guess, was that I would go for walks in the morning. And in the morning, it's really cold, by the way. For those of you who are not in Montreal, it can be like negative 20, feels like negative 30 with the wind chill or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's not the nicest weather. It can be pretty harsh. So I layer up, you wear all those layers, you can't bend your arms anymore. You know, when all you're like in the coat, like you can't move your arms and stuff, and you go outside for your walk, and it's really refreshing. Like the cold, like,
it is 100%.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes you feel, I want to say in tune with like you're living in the present, you know, like it
True.
Sort of reminds you that, okay, you're here.
It is. I don't know. I don't know if you feel like it or not, but for me, -5, -10 is like, okay, it's a normal weather right now.
It's so warm today, Sanjeev. It's like,
it's normal. It's super normal. It's 3 or -3. I don't know. But I remember when my mom calls me at night, like, what's the temperature there? I tell her, like, hey, mom, it's -5, -10. It's -5? Stay inside. Don't go outside. I'm like, mom, it's okay. We have gone through -30, so it's okay.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
She's like, no, don't go outside. So, regarding the parents, how do you feel about staying away from them?
Okay, that's a very big topic. So for me, my parents are, they worry about me a lot. So some things that I tell them first off, I'd like to say hi, mama and baba. I'm sure they're probably gonna listen to this after. But they were really worried about me getting cold and stuff. So I comforted them by telling them that on the campus, they have those tunnels that connect the campus buildings. So when you're on campus, you never really need to go outside if you're downtown. You know, if you go to the metro station or you go to the mall, it's all sort of like indoors. You're never really outside. So I found that comforts my parents a lot. Maybe you guys can start, you know, saying that to your parents too, if you're planning on moving here. But for me, it was also living on residence. So they felt, they were more, I want to say, comfortable knowing that I was safe because where I was living, there was campus security at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I stayed on campus residence for a while before I moved out. It was just, it's very difficult because they're really far away. So they feel like they don't have any control over my safety.
Yeah.
And as parents, like their parents, you know, like they want to make sure that their kids are safe wherever they are. And I'm on an entirely different continent. So they have no control over that.
Exactly.
And I can understand that it can be very nerve-wracking, and I do my best to sort of call them often and let them know that, you know, I'm okay. How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But yeah, it's a little bit difficult.
It's the same story on this side as well. Like, my mom calls me 2 times a day, and sometimes when she doesn't call me, even like skips one meal for me and let me, oh, what happened? There must be something wrong. So you get accustomed to it. Like, if you don't get 2 calls, but if you tell your parents that you're fine, then maybe she's like, okay, I'm not gonna call him. But yeah, when you're living like 7 continents away or 7 oceans away, it's important to take it into consideration that your parents are missing you as well, and be honest and just make sure that you are interacting with them because they are your parents. So that's the main part of it. So, and that's a very emotional part going through. Let's just skip to some other topics now. Okay. So the other question I have for you, like, how can an internet student make most of out of it, her or his student experience?
Well, with regards to student experience, I recommend, again, you put yourself out there. You attend as many events or social events or as possible. Or if you're still studying online and you're studying, through Zoom, I recommend actually you put your camera on in class. I know it'll be a little bit awkward. You might be the only one with your camera on, but you'll get a better learning experience because you'll be more focused. So it can be little things like that. You just need to push yourself to try new things, I guess. And when it comes to student experience, I highly recommend you go out and attend some social events on campus to make new friends. And then after that, you can go out and watch movies together and have dinner together. You just need to make those connections first. You know, you need to find that friend group and
So it's true. As a student, when I started in Concordia, there are some graduate leadership program classes or trainings that are given by grad pro workshops, grad pro skills. I attended those trainings and it was fun. And if you attend like 5 main trainings, you can get a certificate, leadership certificate from them.
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's a tip for internet students. It really helps you. It showcases that you are giving your time to something that can help you build your career in the upcoming stages. Lena, you have something
to add? Exactly. I'd just like to add a little point to that. So it doesn't necessarily just need to be like a social event. So when you're at Concordia, there are a lot of services offered to you that you might not even know about. So places like the Student Success Center, for example, or campus wellness, and there's really a lot of stuff going on all the time. And I was just going through that Concordia Instagram, and I even saw that there's someone by the name of Brad Eon who is studying, he's doing his PhD on, I think, time management. I'm really not sure. I need to double check that. But he's giving a workshop on how to manage your time, and it's a 3-day workshop. And I've attended it in the past, actually, and I thought it was incredible. So it can be little things like that to just sort of build on your skills while you're here too. And I think that's just something important to keep in mind. So you're not just here to sort of study your core classes when you're at Concordia, you're here to build yourself for when you go into that working environment. You know, you need to make sure you have all the skills you need to do your job in the future properly.
True, 100%.
You go attend all those workshops. You can check out the career and planning services too. They have a lot of stuff going on as well. It's not just studying.
It's true. There's more to it. You have 7 days to yourself. I don't know how the undergraduate timeline is or how many times they go to attend classes, but for graduates, you only have 2 classes at max, maybe 3 in a week, but you still have like 4 days left. And you have ample amount of time to utilize that time. From personal experience, if I say I didn't use that properly when I was in India or even in the starting time of my Montreal life, but now when I come to know about it, I think I'm now much better. There are some various platforms where you can get free certificates. I know they are free certificates, but they provide you value that you are you are giving time to yourself to improve. That's the main thing that recruiters want to know about you. How are you utilizing your time? How are you managing your time? So some of the websites are Udemy. In fact, Udemy is like associated with Concordia. So you can have various trainings, various resources to yourself, learn new stuff. You have Coursera as well. Some YouTube courses are there as well. So do not waste your time. And just enjoy. This is the perfect place for you, Montreal. It's very diverse. There are a lot of religious people, different countries. And one of the main reasons why I stepped into Montreal was because that it's too diverse. I don't want to have a limited set of people as my friends, like from the same bedroom. If we don't know how other people think, other people behave, and how what religious learnings you can get from them, then it's really hard for you. So which is one of the main reasons why I attended ISO events, where I made different friends from different religions, and I am still in touch with them. And the one main example is in front of you, who is currently doing this interview, Lena. So yeah, that's how it goes.
I appreciate that, thank you.
Yeah, so and I guess I'm now going to take a break, and after this break we'll be back and to share some other important topics and tips with you guys. So stay tuned to CJLOC 390 AM. You are listening to The Paul Show. So welcome back to the Paul Show, and this is the last segment of today's episode with Lena, the Student Engagement and Volunteer Coordinator from ISO. I'm saying it again and again so that you can reach to her whenever it's important.
Excited to answer your questions. You can reach us on our ISO Facebook or Instagram.
True.
Or email us at iso.assistant@concordia.ca. I'm excited to answer your questions. So.
We will be waiting for your questions as well. So, Lena, as an international student, how much value you have in living abroad? Like, will you recommend living abroad to somebody or not?
That's a very, very excellent question. Yes. So living abroad, I feel if you get the chance to do it, I highly, highly encourage you to take that opportunity and try living abroad. There are some things you learn while you're living abroad that there's really no way, or I can't picture a way that you could possibly learn it while living, you know, at home or in a place that you're still comfortable. And it's little things like how to be independent, for example. I guess that's not so little, right? But being independent is, you know, everyone says once you go and live abroad, you'll be independent, but there's a lot of different meanings to that. So it'll be things like taking care of your health, you know, like learning how to eat and cook healthy, exercising. Like, no one's going to tell you need to exercise. You'll reach a point where it's like, okay, I have to exercise now.
And that's the point I am right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it can also be things like, for example, knowing if you're surrounding yourself with good people or bad people. So if you're back home and you have your family to support you back home, someone can let you know if the people you're surrounded by are, you know, not necessarily good people. But if you're here and you're really on your own, then there's no way to learn but the hard way, I guess. You'll need to recognize the people around you might not necessarily be the best people for you to be around. And you need to be the one to remove yourself from that situation. So being independent or learning to be independent is a very big title. It's an umbrella term that covers a lot of different things.
But
you won't necessarily learn how to do those things without taking that chance and living abroad. And I feel it's also extremely rewarding too. So the people I've met here are really incredible people. You know, like you meet people here that become your family. Sanjeev, I'm sure you can relate to me on this.
Yeah.
The people I've met here and versus the people I've met back home. Not to say that people I met back home aren't great, you know, but here the people I've met, we all share that same or similar experience.
Sure.
And you can really connect with people on a much higher level than back home, especially when you're sort of living here. So you get that new emotional support circle, or your friend group sort of becomes your family too. Your second family almost.
Yeah, that's what we call the ISO family.
Yeah, and that makes me really happy too. That means that we did our job well.
Yeah, it does. It does. There have been a lot of constants like Lena, Farah, Abdullah. Abdullah, if you're still listening to it, shout out to you, Abdullah. There are a lot more. There are a lot of other people as well, and yeah, it's important to live outside. Considering the financial aspect, mm-hmm. Now is the time of taxes, the income tax.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So if you are working here, which you will obviously do as you want to sustain your life here in Canada, so there are some tax forms that you need to fill out. And Concordia University provides you a tax receipt. I guess Lena must know about it, the T2202A form, I guess, which is giving you some credits back for your university fees. And yeah, that's one of the main forms. Then if you're working at any other firm, then you will get a T4. And if you have your name on the lease, then you get an RL31 slip from your landlord.
Yep.
So that's really crucial, because you get some money back from that as well. And always, that's my personal suggestion. I'm not going to say contact a lawyer, but it's always better not to take so much fuss about it and just contact a nice lawyer for it's like me merely $30 to $40 instead of taking the burden by yourself. Yeah, Lena.
So at the ISO, so I'm not going to speak about taxes and stuff because I'm really not the expert in that area.
True.
I really just host the social events. But when it comes to things like filing your taxes, mm-hmm. the International Students Office actually provides certain I want to say workshops on how to do them.
Wow,
and they can help you answer your questions. They don't happen often. They happen close to, you know, mm-hmm. that tax season. Concordia offers certain, I want to say, events or workshops to help you out. Some are at the International Students Office and some are actually held by John Molson School of Business. Mm-hmm. But you just need to keep your eye out on that events page, like the Concordia events page. There's really a lot of resources on there to help you file your tax.
True.
It can be daunting. It's very, like, I've never filed tax before I moved here, you know, so.
Yeah. And as a student, you always have this benefit that you do not have any time frame or time period that you have to file it in, like 2 months. For students, you can file it anytime. But again, for better advice, professional advice, contact Concordia, ISO. ISO is really helpful. They always going to provide you with the right information. So when the time will be right, you will be applying for the work permit, post-graduation work permit. They will tell you when and how to do it. So yeah, ISO is the right place for you to ask any questions.
Yeah, it really is your one-stop shop for questions like that. So if you're an international student, you've just moved here, or you've been here for a while and you have some questions, email us, drop by. We'd be more than happy to help you out.
Hopefully, like, the offices will be open in person, so that so that we can have our queries answered quickly, because there are so many emails dropping out, and it becomes difficult sometimes. It does. And speaking of Concordia, I have recently heard that Concordia, actually, I don't know about you if you are enrolled to it, but GSA is providing like Concordia hoodies. So I got Concordia hoodie.
You mean the Graduate Student Association, right?
Yeah, exactly. So for Concordia students, just buy a hoodie. It's an amazing souvenir for you when you will graduate. You can show to your friends that, hey, I'm Concordia alumni.
Wearing one too. I'm actually wearing one right now.
Wow.
I opened up my closet and everything in there is some piece of Concordia merchandise.
That's true. Yeah.
Go out and get one. I recommend that too.
So that almost sums up today's episode, and it was really amazing. And any last moment tips from Lena for international students or anybody who's in Montreal and still listening to you?
It's something you touched upon earlier, Sanjeev. So when it comes to, you know, you're living here, I just maybe remember that you have people who love you back home, and just call them. So call your family, call your friends back home. Don't let that be the reason that you lose a connection with those people. So that's I guess the final piece of advice I'll leave you with that. So if you you know, call your family, let them know that you're okay, ask them if they're okay, and then just I feel that that's something that is often overlooked, you know.
It is.
What do you think?
That's very emotional advice as well. Like, you know, but in terms of it is highly important. But in terms of financial advice, you need to make sure that you use credit card properly for international students, because if you are over utilizing the credit card, you will not have a nice credit score, which is going to impact your mortgage limit in the future. Again, I'm not the right person to tell you, but these are things that you can learn by yourself on the internet. Yeah. So be aware of how you're using it. Make sure you're paying them at the right time. That's my last advice to you. And it was total fun with you, Lena. And I had an amazing time asking you questions instead of answering them. So
yeah, the tables have turned.
Yeah.
Just wait, next week it'll be me hosting.
Yeah, of course, yeah, 100%. Just some quick the office references from there, how the table turns. Yeah, so this is it for this episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed it and you learned something new. Again, if you have any questions, you can contact Lena at ISO, and her email is
iso.assistant@concordia.ca. But if you have specific questions regarding, you know, moving to Canada and getting your documents ready, so your visa, your study permit, your CAQ, direct your emails to iso@concordia.ca.
Yeah. So there you have it. And I'm going to bid you adios for this week and see you next week. And before you go, just listen to this song and stay tuned at Sigilo 1690 AM. Bye.
सजना वे सजना तेरे शहर वाली सानू किन्नी चंगी लगदी दोपहर किन्नी चंगी लगदी दोपहर फिर भी पता नहीं कातों मौज आई ही जाते भावे साडे सड़ गए ने पै भावे साडे पुज गए ने पै ओ सजना वे सजना वे सजना ने भी रोकिया बापू ने भी रोकिया ना जावी मित्रां दे शहर ना जावी मित्रां दे शहर पर साडी भुख सगों तूनी चौनी होई जावे हौल पैंदे रहन चत्तो पै हौल पैंदे रहन चत्तो पै ओ सजना वे सजना वे सजना तेरे शहर का दी आई मित्रा वे मेरिया भुली सब शिकवे ते वे भुली सब शिकवे ते वे चित करे कक्के कक्के रेतिया नू चुम लव लब कितों सजना दी पै लब कितों सजना दी पै ओ सजना वे सजना वे सजना शहर विच सब अपने ही बस देने साडे पिंड बस देने गए साडे पिंड बस देने गए जिन्ने मिले सानू सारे मिले दुख देन वाले एक ने ना पुछी साडी खैर एक ने ना पुछी साडी खैर ओ सजना वे सजना वे सजना तेरे शहर विच ਰਿਹਾ ਸੀ ਮੰਗਤਿਆਂ ਬਰੋਬਰ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਗੁੜ ਪਾ ਦੇ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਜੈ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਗੁੜ ਪਾ ਦੇ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਜੈ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਰ ਉੱਤੋਂ ਭੁੱਖ ਨੈਣਾ ਦੀ ਮਿਟਾਉਣੀ ਵੇ ਇਹੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਫਕਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਖੈ ਇਹੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਫਕਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਖੈ ਉਹ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਵੇ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਵੇ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਜੱਗ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਰੁੱਸ ਜਾਵੇ ਰੱਬ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਰੁੱਸ ਜੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਾਡੇ ਮਿੱਤਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਲੈਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਾਡੇ ਮਿੱਤਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਲੈਰ ਮਨਾ ਮਰ ਜਾਣਿਆ ਕੀ ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਤੇਰਾ ਵੇਖੇ ਆਵੇ ਸਾਥੋਂ ਭੁੱਲੀ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਨਾ ਦੁਪਹਿਰ ਸਾਥੋਂ ਭੁੱਲੀ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਨਾ ਦੁਪਹਿਰ ਉਹ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਵੇ ਸੱਜਣਾ ਵੇ ਸੱਜਣਾ